Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop to intentionally reflect upon God's word that's appointed for this day. I pray that you would hear God's word, that it would speak to you anew in this day, and that it would help enrich you in your own spiritual life. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that binds us, that we might receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our gospel reading appointed for this day is the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me? The mother of my Lord comes to me. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And then Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy and according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. The reading for this day is many times referred to as the Magnificat, Mary's song, that she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, and the two pregnant women talk, and Mary exclaims about what God has done. And we get Magnificat because it means to magnify, and she begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices greatly in God, my Savior." Sometimes I think we look with favor upon these words, and it's been put to music and hymn books, and people have sung this from generation to generation to generation. But I wonder if we truly hear the words that are being proclaimed. I thought about this for several years ago. I was in my office, it was a Monday or Tuesday, and I got a phone call from somebody who was complaining about the prayers that were said in church the previous Sunday. And I'm like, okay, well, what bothered you? What was going on? And part of it is they used some of the phrases, and they talked about scattering the proud, bringing down the powerful, lifting up the lowly, sending the rich away. And that those phrases got incorporated into the prayers. And they're like, wait a minute. This doesn't sound quite right. And I'm like, oh, as soon as I started to hear it, I'm like, okay, I know. I said, well, these are the words of Jesus. That part of, they incorporated these images and part of the prayers. And in some ways, it sounds like it's broadcasting, and for lack of a better word, a woke agenda, right? Lifting up the lowly, scattering the proud, sending the rich away, that it's like it feels very justice-oriented, and it should, because that's the message. But part of it is, I think, we focus on my soul magnifies the Lord, but we lose part of the message. Because part of it is, think about the person who's proclaiming this. God is doing his will. And he uses a very unlikely person. I mean, we think of Mary and lift Mary up, right? Within the Catholic Church, it's even more so. But Mary, in this culture, is a nobody. She's married or engaged to be married to a carpenter, a tradesman. Mary isn't somebody of importance. And part of it is we probably forget, the notion is, the likelihood is, Mary is probably a 14-year-old girl. Not somebody whom society would look upon as somebody with power. And yet God chooses this person to be the one to bring the Savior of the world. This is the person God chooses to accomplish his plan. And part of it is, when God does it, in many ways, God turns, in some ways, things upside down. The gospel, when you think about it, really runs counter to the culture in which we find ourselves in. Was counter to the culture then and counter to the culture now. I mean, after all, think about it. The culture tells us there is no such thing as a free lunch. But grace says what? Grace says God's love comes to us free. We can't earn it or merit it. God takes the whom people think are powerless, Mary, to accomplish his purpose. Jesus, and giving life, does it through death, through what the world sees as being punished and humiliated and mocked, is actually the instrument in which God accomplishes his purpose. And so part of it is, we have to see that it turns upside down. And Mary's words proclaim, when she magnifies God, part of it is to see that here's what God has done. He scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Why this emphasis upon these groups? And I think part of it is, these groups, the poor, the meek, are groups that realize they can't depend upon themselves. The rich, the proud, the strong. A lot of times they think they don't need anybody. But God uses these people to say, here, we need to trust in God. I mean, think about it. The other passage I think about that really runs counter to our culture and really is strange and should always ring strange in our ears is the Beatitudes, right? Where Jesus says, here are the people who are blessed, those who hunger and thirst. In the Gospel of Luke, it's just hunger and thirst. Matthew spiritualizes it a little bit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Most of us wouldn't say these are the groups that are blessed. Most of us would look down upon those people. Most of us, if we had our choice, you know, the poor or the rich, we choose rich. Those who mourn or those who are happy, we're going to choose happy. But God said, blessed are these other people. Because it's in that position that we see our need for God and the reliance upon what God is doing in our lives. It brings us to the need for a Savior. And as we're finishing our journey through Advent on this fourth Sunday of Advent, and as Christmas is just a couple of days away, what it reminds us is this journey that we need something else. And that something else is the babe that's born in Bethlehem. The child that's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This holy child is the one whom God has sent to redeem the world. And Mary says, "My soul rejoices. I magnify God because of what God has done, how he has used her to accomplish this purpose." And now for us, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, may we say that our soul magnifies God, that our spirit rejoices, and help us to see that God doesn't always choose the powerful and the rich, but God uses all people and calls us to rejoice and to know that God is doing something different than we might expect. May we hear Mary's words anew in our world today and rejoice and know that God is doing a new thing. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. We give thanks for your servant Mary, who opened herself to your will and was willing to be your servant, an instrument of grace to bring the Savior of the world into the world. You confound the world by the way of the lowly and unexpected in the world for your purpose. We pray that we would be open to your spirit and be willing to be used by your powerful hand to make a difference in our world today and to do your will, which is perfect and good. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.